Both men and women face temptation, but it can take different forms. Here's Joshua Harris.
I think that in a twisted way as well, a woman's lust can be expressed in this craving for power, that if I dress this way, if I act this way, it gives me the ability to get men to do what I want. And as you can imagine, that just plays on the feeding of lust between men and women.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, November 11th. Yesterday, we heard Nancy's interview with Josh and Shannon Harris, and we'll pick it back up today. The topic is lust, and you'll want to use discretion if you have younger children with you. Let's listen.
We've often talked on Revive Our Hearts about the important role that we have as women in encouraging and helping men to walk with God and to have a pure heart. And we've talked about the influence and the impact that we as women have on men in areas of moral purity and sexual faithfulness to the Lord. This week on Revive Our Hearts, we have a man to help us as women better understand our role and our calling and our influence on men in the area of morals. So we're welcoming today Josh Harris and his wife, Shannon. Thank you for joining us again on Revive Our Hearts.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for having us back. Thanks for letting a guy on the show.
Well, you know what? We're really thankful, Josh, that you would come and help us as women understand some of these things. Because as I've said before, women and men are wired differently in more ways than one.
Right.
As we even think about this issue of sexual lust, and you've written a book called Not Even a Hint, Guarding Your Heart Against Lust. You know, there was a time when we would have thought that this was a men's issue, mm-hmm. that women didn't really struggle with issues of sexual lust. But we're finding that it's not just men, it's women as well, isn't it?
Well, that's really true. I first gave a message 2 years ago on this topic, and it was to all men. And in fact, at the beginning of it, I said, okay, if there's anyone listening to this tape, if there's any chance that a girl picked up this tape, I want you to turn this off right now.
And this is not for you.
Yeah, I got a big laugh out of the guys because we all had this understanding that this was a guy's talk and girls couldn't relate to it. And if they heard us describing the fact that we struggle with these things, they would think we're monsters, that something was wrong with us and so on. And what really surprised me is that after this message, we began to receive requests from women who wanted to listen to the tape, mm-hmm. not just so they could kind of understand the male mind and so on, but they were saying, well, we deal with these issues, and we want to be able to talk through this in our women's groups and small groups in the church. And that really challenged some of my assumptions. And as I begin to receive letters from women and hear back from different people, I realized in writing the book that I needed to make it for both men and women. And I tried to do that in a way that was appropriate. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a PG-rated book is the way I describe it. But the fact is that lust is not just a guy problem. It's a human problem. Mm-hmm. It's a sin problem. Mm-hmm. And God's grace is available for both genders to deal with this sin.
Now, sometimes men's struggles with lust are more obvious, and women's lust or sexual sin issues are sometimes more subtle and maybe even more refined. What are some of the ways that you're finding that women are tempted by lust?
One of the things that surprised me as I heard from women, and I actually hired an assistant to do all the interviews with women because I didn't want to be interviewing women on this topic, obviously, but the fact that there are many women who would struggle in ways that you might call traditionally male kinds of struggles with lust. And what I mean by that is a strong desire for sex or to view pornography and those kinds of things. And most people would say, yeah, women just deal with their emotions and fantasy and things like that, and it's men that deal with these obvious ways. And what was helpful for me in understanding that and writing the book is that I think many women who do struggle in those ways feel so ashamed because they feel like there's something wrong with them. I shouldn't be dealing with lust in this way. Mm-hmm. So if I dealt with lust in the way women are supposed to deal with it, I'd feel okay. But because I feel like I'm doing things that are not what a woman's supposed to do, there's even more shame, more secrecy, mm-hmm. and unwillingness to open up to other women and to go to them and confess these things. And so they hide it, they keep it inside, and that only feeds, I think, the power of sin, because they're not willing to walk in the light. But some of the typical ways that I have seen would be just emotions, mm-hmm. you know, longing for a relationship, whether that is a young teenage girl thinking about a boy that she likes and the way those fantasies can become lustful, or whether it's a girl who's reading romance novels and really just feeding those desires. So I think that in a twisted way as well, a woman's lust can be expressed in this craving for power, in a sense, that if I dress this way, if I act this way, it gives me the ability to get men to do what I want. And as you can imagine, that just plays on the feeding of lust between men and women.
And you know, it's not just young people. It's not just young men and women. We're receiving emails from women who for years have been in bondage. I'm thinking of a woman who wrote and said that for 38 years she had been in bondage to pornography. And the first time I saw something like that, it was kind of really surprising to me. But now I'm realizing that with the mixing of male-female roles and with the constant barrage of sexual suggestions in our culture, that it's not so surprising. And then, as you said, Josh, I think it's some of the emotional ways that women are drawn. In fact, we received a very sad letter from a husband who was crying out for prayer for his wife and his marriage, and said that his wife has become romantically, emotionally connected to a man at work. He and his wife have two children. The man she's attracted to has two children. And this husband said, "My wife thinks that her life lacks oomph," in her terms. And she said, "Our relationship isn't bad. She just wants better." So she's now, though she hasn't physically committed adultery, she's emotionally committed adultery, and she's basically preparing to leave her marriage, to break up this other marriage in order to get an upgrade, right, emotionally and romantically. So here's a woman with teenage kids still fighting the battle and really deceived by the evil one.
And it's the same lie that's behind that. It's the lie that this other man will provide something, will make me happy. I think you're right. Often that manifests itself with an emotional longing and so on.
So, Shannon, what are some of the ways that we as women need to guard our hearts?
Well, I think it is just what you said. There are those outward things that we need to flee from, whether it's watching different TV shows or reading those romance novels. It's whatever we're filling our minds up with. If we're filling our minds up with junk and worldly amusements, what we want to be filling our minds with is Scripture and God's Word and Himself more than anything, just Himself.
You just said that romance novels can fuel lustful desires and thoughts. Why can those romance novels be such a dangerous thing in a woman's life?
Well, if you're single, they're going to be stirring up desires for a romance to happen, whether it's out of God's timing, or perhaps you're reading a romance novel and you're 13 years old. I mean, it's just not a good time to be.
Okay, what if you're 18 years old or 28 years old?
Good point.
Is there anything wrong with having a desire stirred up for marriage?
A desire for marriage is a good desire, but until God makes that crystal clear, there's a man who has an intention to marry you and your father has given you permission, given him permission, I think that we do need to flee those things. I don't think it would be good to be any age reading a romance novel. I don't think it would be good to be a married woman reading a romance novel, because you're sitting there reading about some other romance, and perhaps that's going to stir up then discontentment for your own marriage, like this woman that you were just describing, or
it can really create unrealistic expectations about what a mate can and will provide. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to really put you on the spot here, and thinking of a listener who wrote recently and said, "Okay, I'm with you on the romance novels thing, but what about Christian romance novels?" Now, we're not here to say what God's will is for somebody else's life, but what could be the possible dangers of even Christian romance novels?
Could I jump in with a letter that we got from a young girl? But she shared that it started when she was 12. She wasn't experiencing romance in my own life and desperately wanted to, so I turned to what I call soft porn romance novels. I appreciate her honesty of really what is in those. And the effect on this was I was having really perverse thoughts, she shared. And so she threw out all these romance novels and started reading Christian romance novels, but even then found herself tempted. And she said, the sex scenes aren't at all graphic in a Christian romance, but just the whole romance thing would bring back other scenes I'd read in secular novels. Lately, I've come to the realization that I can't read any of it. It's been hard, but I've noticed that by not reading any romances, the lust in my mind is really coming under control. Praise God. And I just would encourage anyone who is struggling with sexual temptation, fantasies that are impure, if this has been a pattern in your life, if that's where you are struggling, to recognize that they could just be feeding something that God really wants to help you to put to death, and not to assume that just because it's in a Christian bookstore or just because it's a Christian romance novel that it's helping you spiritually, because it really could be detrimental.
And I think you've asked such a key question there. Is this helping me spiritually? Is it giving me a greater hunger and thirst for righteousness, a greater love for God, a greater sensitivity to holiness and to sin? Is this fueling righteous desires? And if we want to be holy, then we need to make sure that we're putting into our lives conversations and books and entertainment and friendships that will help stir up righteous desires for God.
That's exactly right. You have to look at the fruit in your life. And if that fruit is more temptation, thoughts that are impure, you have to say, what am I putting into my life? And regardless of the label that's on it, you need to be willing to change that.
Josh, help us women understand from a man's perspective how a wife can be a helper to her husband in the area of moral and sexual purity. What are some of the ways that Shannon has helped you in your pursuit of moral excellence?
Well, first of all, Shannon has served in our marriage by just obeying God's word and making the marriage bed a wonderful thing, serving me in that way, which is a wonderful protection against temptation. But there are a lot of other little ways in which she serves me. I have asked her at different times to make sure that certain catalogs are not in our home. And so she would sort of screen the mail, if you will, throw catalogs away, and even get on the phone and call companies and say, please take us off your list. And I remember her doing that 3 or 4 times with one catalog. And what I am so grateful for is that she didn't view those things as a chore, kind of like, you know, roll her eyes. What's your problem? Can't you just, it's just a catalog. Just don't look at it, you know? But instead, she was understanding, and she recognized that just as there are areas where she's tempted in other categories, this was a major area of temptation for me, and that she could be a help instead of just, you know, get your act together, or why would you do that? Another thing that I'm grateful for is that Shannon has not made this a personal offense against her. So to be honest, what our agreement is when it comes to this area is I'm primarily accountable to other Christian men, and she knows that. She knows that I'm committed to, even in the smallest areas, to confess to them, and she sees me do that. She knows that takes place.
Recently, we were just on our anniversary trip, and we were at my mom's, and there was just a photography book on photography, and he just happened to open it up and accidentally see something, and he just realized, you know what, I need to confess this to the men in his care group. And so he was doing that, and I was getting ready, and all of a sudden he disappeared, and 5 minutes later he comes back. I was like, where'd you go? And he said, oh, I just need to make a quick phone call to one of the guys in the care group. And I just immediately knew. I was like, I so respect him for the way he does pursue that accountability, and I have full trust in him that he'll do that.
Now, Shannon, some women would be really just disgusted that that could even be a struggle for their husband, because it may not be something they relate to as a woman.
Right. He did have to educate me. I really wasn't aware of how much of a struggle this was. And I think that's where women single and married can really help men by really coming to an understanding we really can tempt them. And this really is, it is a difficult issue. Like Josh talks about in his book, anytime there's a woman around, a man is basically aware of her body. It doesn't mean he's lusting after her, but he's aware. And that's just the way that God has made men.
And it really is a way to live in a kind, understanding way with each other. Mm-hmm. Just as, you know, you could apply this to a non-sexual category,
right.
Where if someone is tempted with lying or stealing or whatever it might be, you would not look down on them and condemn them because you don't struggle in that way, but find out how you can encourage them in obedience. And mm-hmm. so it's been helpful for me with Shannon that instead of saying, well, why would you do that? Am I not enough for you? Or something like that. She's able to see that this is the deceit of sin mm-hmm. at work in my life, and God is helping me day by day to overcome that, to believe the truth of God's word instead of the lies. But if she just took that personally and made it this issue of, well, how could you do that? That doesn't help me fix my eyes on my Savior and my need for His grace. She is a source of encouragement and a source of protection as well.
And as you think about your marriage going the long haul, I know that you've been around enough Christian marriages to know that there are no guarantees that anyone will finish well.
That's true.
If they're not maintaining constant vigilance mm-hmm. and walking in humility and holiness and obedience before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways, day after day, that you're investing in your marriage and trying to protect it from the attempts of the enemy to take you down?
Several things. One, that we need to set our hearts and minds on things above, which is just what we've been talking about. What are we filling our minds up with? Is it TV? Is it newspapers, magazines? Is it the world? Or is it the Bible and what God has to say? Making no provision for the flesh. If there's anything that causes us to sin, or if there's anything that is tempting us, we should set our eyes on no vile thing. Psalm 101, 2 and 3, I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. We should also be honest and pursue accountability where we're struggling. And I also think just as a wife, there are things that I can do to provide those hedges. It's doing what I can to be attractive to him, being available to Josh at all times, and to be thinking about him. And it's easy to start being critical, and you have to be very careful not to let your mind fill up with the things that, okay, so something doesn't go quite right, or he didn't help you with that thing. And you can easily let those little foxes come in and ruin your marriage, but instead fill your mind up with all the grace that you see in each other's lives. Mm-hmm. We're working at
it. That's true.
We're definitely not perfect at that.
Shannon, what are some of the ways that you pray for Josh?
Boy, I love to pray for Josh. I pray that he will grow in his love for the Savior. I pray that he will grow in his awareness of God's grace and God's love and mercy for him. I pray that he will be able to follow God and to not give in to those temptations. I pray that he will fill his mind up with things of the Lord. I pray for him as a husband and a father, and with his calling in life, too. So there's lots of different ways that I can pray for him.
I think that one of the biggest ways that we seek to build into our marriage is just a commitment to our local church. Mm-hmm. And even though I serve as a pastor, I first come as a follower of Christ who's mm-hmm. called to be a part of his body and being a part of a local church in community with other people, other couples who are very aware of the issues in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, just even in the last week and a half, we sat down with our friends and shared an area of conflict in our mm-hmm. marriage, shared ways in which we saw sin, and they helped us see it much more clearly. Mm-hmm. And they're just making the point that we need to be committed to pouring into our marriage and investing in our marriage and not allowing sin to come between us. And I just thought afterwards, where would we be if we didn't have mm-hmm. other couples
right.
who could speak into that specific of an area of our marriage? We're in a local church where I know men are going to come after me. Mm. I know they're going to challenge me. I know that Shannon is in relationships with women where she is confessing her sin, where she's being challenged to serve me, and I'm getting the same challenge from the men in my life. And so to be strong in your marriage, you can't do that alone. It can't be just the two of you with a bunch of good Christian books or even great radio programs.
Yeah.
You need other Christians in the local church. Mm-hmm. You need spiritual leaders in your life. And without that consistent feeding of God's word and care from others, you will get off course.
And I know some of our listeners are women who think, I wish that my husband had that kind of desire, the willingness to place himself in spiritually accountable relationships. And that woman really can't control what her husband does or doesn't do in his walk with the Lord. But she still can be plugged into the life of the local church, can be spiritually accountable, can be being mentored by older, godly women. Mm-hmm. And nothing her husband does or doesn't do can keep her from having a fruitful and free and joyful relationship with the Lord. So for her to say, I can't have that kind of walk because my husband won't do it, is really not true. She really can have that fruitful walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know, as we talk about a marriage going the long haul, it's all the safeguards that a couple can put into their marriage, areas of obedience to the Lord, walking in the Spirit, walking in community with God's people. And then when it comes down to it, in the final analysis, it's the power of God that keeps us.
That's true.
And I think of that benediction, which Josh and Shannon, I pray for you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to keep me from falling, and who is able to present us before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. He is the one who's called us. He's the one who is faithful even when we're not faithful. And he is the one whose protection I pray upon your marriage for his glory and for the furthering of his great kingdom.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss talking with Josh and Shannon Harris about a topic everyone needs to hear about. They've been showing us how to avoid lust, develop healthy habits, and lean on God's power to say no to temptation. Would you follow up today's conversation? Set some boundaries in place that will help you when tempted. The book by our guest Joshua Harris will help you in this process. It's called Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is. We'll send a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Just call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Nancy, I'm glad we've been able to cover this much-needed topic today.
It really has been such a joy for me to get to know Joshua and Shannon Harris and just to sense the passion that this young couple has for Christ and for purity. And I so appreciate their transparency, especially Shannon's, as she's told us a little bit more about her background and the grace of God and what it has done in her life. And as I listen to this couple, I just think, wouldn't it be incredible if God would do this kind of work in the hearts of young women and couples all across this country? And that's our goal, is to use programs like this week's interview with Josh and Shannon that will deeply touch and impact the lives of not only young women, but older women as well. Let me just remind you that we are a listener-supported ministry, and the only way we can offer programs like this one is through the prayers and financial support of God's people who say, I share your burden, I share your vision to see this message get into the hearts and homes of women all across this country, and we want to have a part in making that possible. It would mean so much if God has blessed you and enabled you to be able to give, after you give, of course, to the minister of your local church. If the Lord prompts you to give to the minister of Revive Our Hearts, that would mean so much to other young women like Shannon, whose hearts are being revived even as they hear the program this week.
Again, you can provide that support by visiting reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, next week, we'll hear the story of two people who are emotionally wrecked by sexual sin. Their marriage looked like it was beyond hope. Find out what changed. That's next week on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.